This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. In the past month, the tragic deaths of 14 orang asli from the Batik community living in Kampung Kuala Ko, Kelantan, had shocked and saddened many. We look at some of the environmental factors that have an impact on the community's quality of life and what can be done to improve this moving forward. Earlier today, I spoke to environmentalist Dr. Lim Teck Win to help us understand the situation better. Here is that interview. What are some of the environmental challenges currently faced by the Batik community, you know, specifically in Kampung Ko?
Well, the main challenge faced by the Batik community in Kuala Ko is the same challenge that's faced by most Orang Asli communities throughout rural Malaysia. In fact, the Orang Asal communities throughout Malaysia, and that is the security of their land and the security of their forests, because as most people know, the Batik, like other groups of Orang Asli, still rely quite heavily on the forests. And the forest being lost is certainly the biggest challenge that they're facing.
And you know, why is land such an integral part to the Orang Asli culture?
All right, well, unlike people who live in the city, we get our food from the shops, and we get our medicine from the clinic. Traditionally and still today, the Orang Asli, especially the Batik, continue to rely on the forest for their source of life, all aspects of their life, including fresh water, food, fruit, and medicine, building materials, everything. It's basically coming from the natural environment which they have been living off for many centuries. And despite the fact that the government has tried to kind of bring them into the so-called modern world by giving them cement houses and telling them to settle down, they still rely on the forest and their traditional land for a lot of their subsistence.
See, and you know, Colin Nicholas said in an article written by The Star that their customary land area covered Kuala Ko, the Kelantan part of Taman Negara, and the northern part near Pos Lebir. But much of the land has been converted to logging, plantations, and even mining. How is the destruction of the environment also? How does it also affect not only their way of life, but it's specifically their health in this case?
All right, well, if you take a step back and you look at the Batik compared to other groups of Orang Asli, such as the Samai and the Tamia, the main difference there is that the Samai and the Tamia have traditionally been engaged in farming. So they plant rice crops, they plant ubi, they plant vegetables, and they're fairly settled compared to the Batik. And Batik would traditionally be moving around every few months. They would move to a new location. And so their whole kind of system of life didn't involve living in a settled location. And this idea of living in one fixed point creates a lot of health issues which traditionally they wouldn't have to face. For example, if you're only in one place, and then you have to worry about sewage building up, you have to worry about diseases such as stagnant water and pollution as a result of your settlement itself. And if you move your settlement every few weeks or every couple of months, you don't need to worry about the same things, in the sense that diseases would not build up in one place because the community would just move on to a new place. Now, what the government has done over the last 50 years is forced the Batik to settle down in one place. And this is something which they don't have the traditions in place for living in one settled location. And therefore, for example, if they are walking around in the village barefoot, which is what they traditionally would be doing, they don't have a tradition of wearing slippers or wearing shoes, then in a traditional setting, it wouldn't be such an issue. But in a village where they've been living for a long time, then a lot of parasites will be living in the soil, and then going around barefoot can cause problems for them. That's just one example of how being forced to shift your mode of life to a new mode of life when you don't, your community, your society doesn't have the traditions for that new mode of life, causes a lot of problems for health and mental well-being as well. Water is fundamental for life. I mean, it's a cliche that we, in the city, we take for granted that we get the clean water because it comes from treated water treatment plants. But in these rural areas, they don't have water treatment plants. And so they have to get their water, if they're lucky, from a forested area where there's a natural filtration that the trees and the soil naturally, and the rocks and the sand, naturally filter the groundwater. And so the water they get is from a small stream and it's fresh water. Now, the problem comes when you have logging and mining and plantations which disturb that water catchment area, which they're relying on. And so the water ends up in becoming silted and contaminated, often with mud, heavy metals, and even pollutants that are put into the stream by the plantation companies.
Mm. And, you know, why do you think that, you know, the logging, the mining, you know, why were these activities allowed to carry on for so long uninterrupted, knowing full well that it would impact the overall quality of life of the Batik community?
Well, this is the point. The government, the planners, did not know full well that it would impact the life of the Batik community, because for all intents and purposes, from a planning perspective, the Batik are invisible to the planners. The planners, the central planners in the headquarters, either in Kuala Lumpur or even in the state capitals, for example, in Kota Baru, they do not realize that the Batik are reliant on the land, because the Batik traditional water catchment areas have not been mapped and are not recognized. And so the planners, even if the planners were well-intentioned, would not be realizing that the Batik are relying on certain areas for subsistence, because the state government has not officially recognized the subsistence and water catchment areas for many Orang Asli communities, and particularly the communities that are traditionally semi-nomadic, such as the Batik, because they traditionally roamed over a very large area, including, as has been mentioned in the press, including over into Pahang. And so that poses a lot of problems for the traditional planning model, which assumes that a village is in one fixed location.
Mm. So, I mean, just from your point of view, what do you think can be done in this case? Because as you said, they are nomadic. How can there be better planning in the future when it comes to mapping out, for example, their water catchment areas in cases like this?
All right. Now, this needs to be one of the top priorities for JAKWA, because JAKWA, as the central federal agency, it needs to coordinate with the state governments to map out the traditional areas of Batik and also the other Orang Asli groups. And once that mapping exercise has been done, it needs to be done collaboratively with the Batik themselves. Once that exercise has been done, then the state government, it really has to recognize these areas and gazette them.
Hmm. And you mentioned JAKWA. So what role can JAKWA play in this? You know, are they doing enough?
All right. Well, JAKWA traditionally have not given a priority to the Batik, because the Batik are a really small minority among the Orang Asli as a whole. But, and so I would say that definitely in the past, they have not done enough. But I am optimistic, because now that JAKWA is undergoing a revamp and the federal government is committed to addressing Orang Asli issues generally, I feel that there is a real opportunity for JAKWA to look at these issues holistically. And what's really crucial, what JAKWA needs to do more of, is engage with state governments on land issues, because this is an area which has been outside of JAKWA's control. JAKWA has tended to shy away from addressing land issues. But I would say it is the priority issue, and it is the issue which needs to be addressed before any of the other issues can really be tackled with any kind of seriousness.
And, you know, is there any sort of legal action the Orang Asli of the, from the Batik community are entitled to take now that this has happened in their area, presumably due to the logging and the mining that took place?
Yeah, of course, the Orang Asli are entitled to take legal action. But I would say that legal action should be a last resort because it would be slow and there's no guarantee. And it's actually something that's particularly difficult for the Batik because unlike the other groups, they don't always really want to take, well, a confrontational approach. And, you know, I mean, Orang Asli generally, including the Tamiya, would prefer not to take a confrontational approach. But it's especially the case with the Batik that they would prefer to avoid any kind of confrontation, and they would prefer a collaborative and non-confrontational resolution to the problem.
So after the incident occurred, the Deputy Prime Minister, Datuk Seri Dr. Wan Aziza, called for an emergency meeting to give special attention to the issue. So what would your final message be to key officials?
Well, I would say from an environmental perspective, as I mentioned, it's critical to tackle the land issue first. They need to recognize the fact that even inside Taman Negara, the Batik have traditionally lived and relied on the land. And therefore, in order to safeguard the future of the Batik in Qualico, as in many other areas, there needs to be a recognition of their rights to the land. I would say that there is a need for the federal government to recognize the fact that the state governments are logging and mining because it's one of the few areas where they can get a source of revenue. And I don't feel that the federal government is giving enough attention to the fact that there needs to be some kinds of subsidies and some kind of compensation given to the state governments if they are going to be setting aside areas for protection, if they're going to be keeping some of the forest just because it's important for biodiversity or just because it's important for the traditional way of life of the Batik. Then this is absolutely the kind of thing that the federal government needs to come in and give some kind of subsidies to the state.
That was Dr. Lim Teck Win. He is an environmentalist speaking to us about the environmental factors that have an impact on the Orang Asli community, specifically the Batik community living in Kampung Kuala Ko, Kelantan. If you've missed any part of this interview or any Live and Learn segment, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.